Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan on this very busy Wednesday. Knicks play tonight. They take on the Sixers. More on that in a few minutes, including our investigation into Josh Hart's accusations against some of his teammates having uncontrollable egos. We'll get to all that coming up, but right now it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Simply put, my Cinco today, the 5 people who suck today.
Wow, you're in some kind of mood.
I woke up in a very bad mood. I have been in a bad mood.
Wow.
And yesterday I thought there was, you know, sucktitude when it came to the commuter thing.
Yeah.
I'm continuing the trend, baby. It's a negative week.
Okay.
5 people that
suck.
So
it's individual
today.
People that suck.
Fuck, I think groups of people.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The baseball season is too long, crowd. You know what baseball season represents? Being outside a lot. And the longer baseball season is, the less it feels like winter, and today sucks. Okay. All right.
I don't sign that.
Carry on. Let's go.
Number 4.
The next people who suck today, the summer is too hot, people.
Ooh, it's 100 degrees.
I'm a
loser.
I got
to go inside of my air conditioning. I got to go outside to the beach.
Have you felt the weather today?
Do you mind if I counter that?
Here we go.
So this morning, and I back up my words, I took my son, my oldest son, to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What we do at the bus stop, we've done it every day I've taken him to the bus stop, is we have a catch, baseball catch. Take the glove out, take the ball out, we throw it around, all good. He has not stopped, even in this cold weather.
Okay.
So I was bundled up, I was in my big heavy jet jacket that Carl Banks gave me like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing the ball around and I'm like, damn, it is cold. I am freezing my ass off. And as I got in the car, I said, you know something? As cold as this is, give me this over 98 degrees and humid.
You suck.
And I thought that at the time, and I even
Why?
Think that now, because it's more comfortable.
No, you it's could- not. There's nothing comfortable about this.
You have a high body temperature.
Thank you.
Naturally.
Thank you.
I can tell.
Well, I appreciate it. Your face is turning red, so you need to calm down. I am being honest that to me, 98 degrees and humid is a disgusting feeling. When it's really, really cold, you just put a hat on. You put a jacket
put a hat on.
On.
Your nose can fall off. By the way, last week, you were getting served peanut butter and jelly and grilled cheese underneath the door because you might have had COVID.
Yeah.
Have you heard of hypothermia?
What?
It's cold out. You don't go outside when it's this cold out.
I'm just respectfully, because you seem very angry right now. I disagree with you.
All right. Well, hopefully you don't the rest of the way. Here we go. Huh?
Number three.
The number three type of people who suck today. How about cigarette smokers? Look. Mm. It's not our problem that you're addicted and that it's too cold to go outside to smoke. But you know what happens to cigarette smokers in the cold weather? They get
bad cold. Job by me.
He doesn't do that anymore.
They roll up their windows because it's too cold. They got to enjoy that cigarette. Or maybe they decide, oh, maybe I'll just slightly open my window in my apartment or my house. And you know what happens after that? It's stuck to their clothes because it's so damn cold. And then I'm in an elevator with you. Or then I'm in a subway with you and you stink and I want to throw up. Cigarette smokers in cold weather suck.
Okay.
Here we go.
Number two.
The next people that suck today.
Yes.
The people in late July who tweet out or utter these words, ooh, I can't wait for hoodie season.
That's me again. You got me again.
You know what follows hoodie season? This miserable abyss. So while you're rushing the beaches, the pools, and the baseball, and the wiffle ball, and the fireworks, know that we're getting this around the corner. You suck.
This is not that bad.
Yes, it is.
It's bad.
It's
with
horrible.
The wind, it's bad.
It is horrible.
I get that it's bad, okay? I'm admitting it's very cold outside, but you guys are very conveniently forgetting what it feels like when you walk outside and you start sweating profusely.
I'm not forgetting.
And I don't mind that.
I don't mind it, because at the end of the day, it's light out late. I could be outside. There are things you could do. Again, I've mentioned air conditioning, water relief, all of that. For all the people that go, you know, you could just layer up.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I
am
agree
I supposed
with that.
To wear four masks on my face and look like Tom Coughlin at Lambo? Great. My man breasts are warm because I have four layers on. Every finger and portion of my face is freezing off. All right. Last but not least.
Number one.
And the last people that suck today. Could you imagine if we actually had a Jet or Giant home game today, the don't build domes be part of the elements crowd.
You're picking a fight with
sorry,
me,
sorry, Evan.
What?
We're reminded again, and I was reminded this weekend as the players and Tiki, look, technology's changed that you're a player. The heaters have gotten better.
Yeah.
The way those players are so much less affected, and you know who's affected? The fans in the crowd.
I always felt bad for the fans.
Yeah. And now
always
I know
did.
If the Giants get good again, I'm out on playoff games because I'm not sitting out there in weather like this and risking getting sick for 3 weeks and hearing, well, layer
what
up,
what if it's
layer
a
up.
Balmy 48?
That's different. Balmy 48's great. I'll sign for that. It's this miserable abyss, and you people that root for this, the summation today, sorry, hurt your feelings, you suck.
So,
back to the sports.
So your whole Cinco is to whine and bitch like a giant baby?
Because it's
about
cold.
It's cold outside.
Yeah.
I'm a little cold outside.
A little cold.
Cry me a river,
bro. By the way, you know, now that I'm on this rant, a couple things.
Yeah.
How about the people that don't like football? Okay?
What?
Who doesn't like football?
People. And maybe they're not our listeners. And here's what I'd say to them.
People.
What the hell are you rooting for or waiting for this week? At least we got NFL playoff games to get us through this miserable time period. What is getting them by day to day?
They're taking their wives to a lodge, right?
Oh, my
little
God.
Little cuddling, a little hot cocoa, a
right.
little skiing.
Right. A little hot tub action.
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with that?
They're not sitting there defending Brian Daboll on Twitter as they lose another bet, and they're ripping their whatever hair you got left in your head.
Look.
They're a healthier people. Like, 100%. Kalugi is kind of right about this. Like,
1,000%.
I don't wish for another life. I love that I love sports, but sports makes me miserable. And so if I didn't care about football or if I didn't care about sports, yeah, there'd be a lot of free time to watch other things. Maybe a lot of YouTube videos, but I would have less pain when it comes to things I can't control, like sports.
Look, if you're out there and your whole week is predicated on, I can't wait for my one mug of hot chocolate and 9 minutes my body's going to tolerate a hot tub, bless your heart. Mm-hmm. I'd be miserable.
Thank you, Sean. I'll tell you something that proves you're wrong about the weather and football. DeMeco Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, had to answer questions this week about his team playing in the cold elements of Arrowhead. And
what is the official temperature on game day?
I haven't even looked. I do know that we are about to enter a really weird period where it's going to warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get like really cold next week, like colder than it is even now.
Yeah. Arctic blast on Tuesday, right? At Barclays.
Yeah.
KC, by the way, has right now the temperatures for the coldest game of the weekend with the wind chill looks like around 10, 11 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So 24 wind chill down to 10.
Okay. So DeMeco Ryans was asked about, hey, playing in the elements. And DeMeco gave a great example, which is, hey, if you think about it, too much. If you let it be a factor, it can be a factor. Here's the reality. No fault of D'Amico Ryans or his team. The Kansas City Chiefs have an edge, an extra edge, in Saturday's game because of the weather.
Just like they did last year against the Miami Dolphins.
Just like they did last year.
Right. The Dolphins against still haven't thought out. No.
Right. Okay. So you admit that, right?
I But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, stop right there. You agree, Teak?
I 100% agree.
When you build a dome, you give that up. That's the reality, and that's the point I've made. So the Detroit Lions don't have that. They're going indoors, and it doesn't mean they can't get to a Super Bowl, though I believe there's a curse against them, and I believe there's a curse against the Minnesota Vikings. Once you go indoors and you don't use your climate to your advantage, how many Super Bowls have the Vikings gone to since they went indoors? Mm-hmm. I'll help you guys out. The answer is zero. You give up on your own an advantage. If the Kansas City Chiefs had a dome, while yes, you'd be more comfortable and fans would be more comfortable and there wouldn't be a risk of hypothermia, and I get that, they would be eliminating a clear advantage that they have.
Oh, come on, man.
What do you mean, come on?
If the Houston Texans were rolling into Kansas City this weekend with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce, and Steve Spagnuolo on their team, and the temperature is 10 degrees, they're winning the game. And it doesn't matter that they'd be playing in a dome in Houston.
Well, but first of all, you're asking a question that's not fair to ask. The Chiefs are a cold weather team. They happen to have this great head coach and this great quarterback. So you're asking like a stupid hypothetical that no one can prove. What I'm telling you is, and I think I can prove it based on what the Vikings and the Lions have accomplished while giving up their home field advantage.
Okay.
The Texans are at a disadvantage because they're playing outside against the Chiefs. And if there was a dome, well, yes, I'd still pick the Chiefs. They wouldn't have the same advantage. Tiki, am I telling a lie?
Well, I mean, it's just who on your team is going to be affected by it. So if it's, say, your quarterback is affected by it, he's acted really cold, or your big playmaker, then obviously there's an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be some guys who just don't care. Like, there's some players that just, cold doesn't affect them. They're crazy as hell. Their minds don't get caught up in when their body is uncomfortable. And if that's one of your stars, you're good. You're fine.
But
if
you're
your
also
quarterback, you're good. You're fine. Like, for instance, I was just watching this video of Lamar Jackson practicing in the wind and the cold.
Because
he wants to do it. They had the option. What do you want to do? Lamar wanted to practice outside. So I don't think that Lamar going up to Buffalo, where it's going to be also 10, or no, it's going to be 12, 19 degrees, 12 with the wind chill. So not quite as cold as it is in Kansas City, but he wants to practice outside. He's not bothered by it. So I think he's going to actually play fine.
Yeah, he's going to play fine. He also plays in a cold weather outdoor stadium. If the Ravens gave up their home field advantage and built a dome, their chances of winning that game over the weekend would be worse.
Hold on. Let me give you a hype, because we're working in hypotheticals. Okay, let's just say there's a world where the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs and the Peyton Manning Colts both exist in the same era. You mean to tell me you wouldn't like the Colts' chances this weekend because of the weather?
Yes. Did you watch the Indianapolis Colts outside?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Colts against the Patriots? Did you watch them?
I don't think that had anything to do with weather.
Really?
I don't.
Okay, well, I think...
It was, and you know how you know?
It was exquisite Bill Belichick defense.
Well, here's your proof. Peyton Manning was great in Denver.
Well, hold on a second. When the Indianapolis Colts went to their two Super Bowls, where was the championship game played?
I'm guessing by that whole...
No, 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 there's
Indy,
no guessing. No, there's no guessing.
I forgot the game.
Hold on, Sean.
So.
Do you watch football?
Yes.
Okay. I'll help you out if you don't know the answer, and I'll describe it, and then you tell me if the results are different if they're outside. The 2006 season, they played the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots in their own building. Mm-hmm. And I think Loogie was about to get to it. They were trailing in that game by a lot, right, Tommy?
A ton, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 20-3. I could be wrong about
that. I don't
know
if Twitter existed, but Sean probably tweeted game's over.
Probably. And the Colts pulled off this wonderful comeback. I remember watching it at my friend's house saying, hey, that's the only way this should happen for them to finally conquer the demons. Do you think there's a chance in hell that happens in Foxborough?
Could have.
No,
Peyton's career in cold weather in Denver proves it could have.
No. I'm not talking about Denver. I'm talking about in
That's the quarterback. That's the team.
Yeah, he was a different quarterback in Denver, though.
I agree.
He wasn't the same dominant player that he was. He was still a good player, but he wasn't
the
dominant.
Didn't he set the touchdown record in Denver?
Hold on. Sean, it was also his home field.
Didn't they lose a playoff game in Denver?
They did. But it also
I don't remember what the weather was.
It also became his home field. When his home advantage was a dome, he couldn't win outside the dome. When he went to Foxborough, what happened?
They lost.
Okay. So bringing up Denver's irrelevant. His home in Denver was outside. When he played in Indianapolis, when he went to two Super Bowls, and I didn't get to the second one because it's painful, he beat the Jets at home. If that game's at Giant Stadium, final year of Giant Stadium, I'm not saying we beat them. I'm saying we have a hell of a better chance of beating them. And that's indisputable. That is indisputable, football guy. Counter it.
I just strongly disagree.
You could disagree with it by saying disagree with it.
I think
again, what did Peyton Manning do on the road in cold weather? What'd he do?
I don't think that's more of a Peyton Manning.
What did he do? Do you have the answer?
I love how you dismiss him playing it. Like, suddenly he got to Denver and they sprinkled magic. Sean, like, what did Elsa from Frozen
Denver,
come over and say,
Denver,
now you can play?
In Denver, that was his home field. Okay, so
what does that mean? That was his home field.
Because
so
he started doing it. He did it all season long. I'm talking about when he was in Indianapolis and his home field was a dome. How did he do on the road in the postseason? Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They lost those games, but you keep saying all season long. It doesn't get cold in most of these places till the beginning of December, so it's not all season long. So suddenly there's magic dust?
No, it's not magic dust. There's a home field advantage to playing in that building and playing in that weather and playing in that stadium more than one time. When you give it up and you go on the road, the results are the results. So I'll ask you one more time. You can go to Pro Football Reference and show me the facts. What did Peyton Manning do on the road in the postseason in cold weather environments when he was the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts? Okay. Go ahead. I'll wait.
They didn't beat the greatest coach quarterback combo of all time.
Okay, great. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm glad that it was about Eskimos.
How did he do at Giant Stadium against the Jets? You know, the pathetic franchise.
Hold on.
How'd he do?
Come on. They lost 41-0, and he wasn't quite Peyton Manning in the postseason yet.
How'd he do?
They lost 41-0. Okay. I gave you the game.
He threw two interceptions? And what was that game play?
Giant Stadium.
Against the crappy Jets, right? Who were handed the AFC East that year with a 9-1 season?
I don't think the Jets were crappy.
I'm just telling you, that's what happened. Now, he won a game in Baltimore in the postseason. You could have brought that up, but what you also know is they won that game 15-6. They won that game because of defense. Peyton Manning did not put together some artistic performance. In fact, he threw two interceptions in that game. So how did Peyton Manning do in the postseason when he played outside? I'll hang up and listen.
Evan, you solved the whole thing. So in his first year in Denver, he waited till, you know, the beginning of December, and then somebody hit him with a bolt of energy and say, now this is your home field. Now play better here. Now you nailed it, man. He could never play in the cold weather because he lost those games. I mean, what are we talking about?
It's a home field advantage for a reason. Tiki, do you agree with me?
I don't even care.
Thanks, Tiki. Let me ask you this. If Olaf from Frozen came out, would he be a first-round pick? Does anybody know that? He plays in the cold.
Wow. Trying to get a laugh out of Tiki. That is worse than anything.
Trying to get a laugh out of Tiki.
What the hell are you guys even
We were talking about Frozen.
I know it's Frozen, but this doesn't even matter.
Well, he mentioned Elsa.
I have mentioned over and over again, and I'll say it again,
everybody said this about the Buccaneers. They couldn't win in cold weather until they did.
No, you're right.
Bang! That's a great example.
There are examples of it, but overall, you give up a home field advantage when you build a dome. That's my point. And that's why the Houston Texans, who wouldn't beat the Chiefs either way, but I think they're at a worse advantage by having to go to a cold weather climate like Kansas City. Doesn't make it impossible. The Falcons beat the Packers in Lambeau. Like, yeah, I can come up with examples, but in general, you give up a home field advantage. Now, Peyton Manning in Denver had all his postseason games played at home, which I also think is fascinating. They did a great job of winning in the regular season, but then it became his home. It became a home field advantage.
Yeah, but they lost to the Ravens when it was 14 degrees.
What was that?
He lost to the Ravens when it was 14 degrees in 2011.
That's right. That was the game. But in that game, they scored like 35 points. Yeah. That was the Joe Flacco game.
Right, 38-35.
Yeah, final. That was a classic. I could still see that Joe Flacco pass that turned out to be the game winner. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. How are you, Vinny?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So, Evan, I just wanted to point out some reasons on... I'm a Mets fan.
Yes.
First and foremost. I'm like kind of indifferent on bringing Alonso back at this point. If he comes back, great. If not, I just don't care anymore. He says he wanted the 6-year deal. He turned down 7. He comes to the Mets with the 3-year deal after he turned down a 3-year deal from us. I just don't care anymore. If he's going to do this with his opt-out, and we're going to go through this all over again next year.
Well, but the reason I think you should care, though, Vinny, is don't you think, even if it is only 1 year, and I agree, it would be another kind of Band-Aid till next offseason, him in this lineup gives the Mets a better chance of winning in 2025. So why would you dismiss that and be like, I don't care if he comes back. I think it hurts the Mets' chances if he's not in this lineup.
I do agree with that, but I also heard you say earlier that you don't think Vlad will be traded this offseason.
I do not. I would be stunned, and I'll wear the L for a week, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is traded this offseason. I'd be stunned.
But isn't it very similar? Couldn't we say the same exact thing about Soto last offseason?
No. I think it's very, very different because I think the Padres clearly, and I give Tiki a lot of credit for this. I don't even know if Tiki remembers this, but at the very beginning of the offseason last year, we played A.J. Preller here on WFAN. And I said, Tiki, what does he mean by this? Because he was asked about Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And Tiki said, he's gone.
He's gone. He's leaving.
I said, what the hell
They're
do you mean?
They're not even going to try.
You heard what right. A.J. said. And it was obvious from the get-go that their plan with a year remaining of Soto was, we're going to trade him.
Yes.
So I think in that case, they were going to trade him, and it made sense. There has been no indication that the Toronto Blue Jays are interested at all in trading Guerrero. In fact, this is the same offseason in which they were connected to making a serious offer for Juan Soto.
Right. And so if you're going to spend them, we had this conversation around the Juan Soto stuff. If the Blue Jays are so willing to spend whatever it was going to cost, $700 million, to sign Juan Soto, why would they not spend money on Vlad Guerrero?
Doesn't make sense.
Especially knowing that they were a long shot to get Juan Soto. So the money's there.
The only way this happens, and I don't think this will happen, but I'll lay out a scenario where the Blue Jays go to Vlad about an extension. And Vlad says, you know what? I don't even want to negotiate. I'm going to leave.
Do you think they've ever even done that?
Yes. I think they've negotiated and they're negotiated, just far off. Yeah.
And so they're far off.
Yep.
And is this a let me get the free agency? Or is this a you're not coming, you're not giving me a big enough offer?
Okay, so it's what you hear publicly and then the reality. So publicly, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has said, I will negotiate an extension until the first day of spring training and then it's off the table, which leads you to believe he is open to staying in Toronto. Now that's a public thing. Could he privately go to the Blue Jays like an NBA player and say, I'm not going to resign, so you should trade me? Mm. Now, that's step one. Let's say that happens. Say Vladimir Guerrero Jr. privately says to the Blue Jays, I'm not going to resign, just letting you know. I want to do you a service. Right. I don't want you to be left holding the bag or holding nothing. The Blue Jays could simply say, appreciate it. We're going to still try to win. Mm. We'll collect a first-round pick next year. We're going to see how we do this year. Oh, by the way, if we struggle at the deadline, then we probably will trade you.
Yeah.
But if we feel we have a chance to win, we're going to try to win a world championship. So even Guerrero telling them he doesn't want to stay, I don't think would necessarily lead to them leaving. Let's go to Rob and Patchogue. How are you, Rob?
What's up, Evan? What's up, Tiki? How
all's
we good. Doing?
All's well, man. What's up?
What's up?
Nothing. I was just calling in regards to Evan talking about playing in the dome. He's 1,000% right. I played up in Syracuse from 2010 to 2015. I always wondered why, you know, I know the Carrier Dome has, like, you know, all this pristine and, you know, it's tradition and everything, but if we opened it up and we had all these, you know, ACC teams from down south come up, or, you know, the end of the year, October, November, it's a huge advantage. You don't have the teams down south can't emulate. They can't get snow. They can't get that wind, that coldness. It's just a huge advantage playing up north in the Northeast
1,000%.
And with that type of weather, because you can't you just can't simulate it.
1,000%. And that's what I'm trying to explain. Like, you give up an advantage when you build a dome in a cold weather climate.
I mean, there's really only one in the AFC that's a cold weather climate situation. That's Indy.
Mm-hmm.
The other two in the AFC, Houston and the Raiders, technically, and that, because that's relatively new.
It's hot weather.
It's for the heat.
Yeah, you know, which I'm not even arguing, by the way.
Right. It's just, you can't have people sitting outside in 100-degree weather.
And I also don't think that's an advantage you're giving up. Like, I don't think, especially as you get late into the calendar year.
It's very, even if in September and it's still 90-something degrees, it's just comfortable inside the dome.
Yes.
There's no advantage one
way or another. I do not argue against those teams. To me, it's the Lions, it's the Vikings, and to a lesser degree, it's the Colts, and it's any other cold weather team like the Browns, who are rumored to be wanting to build a dome, or even the Bears. They are making a grave mistake in terms of an advantage that they're simply giving up.
Yeah, there's four of them in the, well, technically the Rams are a dome, but it's not really a dome because it's open. So if it happened to be cold and it's not, it would be cold. Like, they can't shut it.
Right, right.
If it was 12 degrees, you'd feel it. But it's New Orleans, and then Minnesota and Detroit, as you mentioned, and then Dallas. But Dallas and New Orleans, it's for the heat.
Yeah, I don't include those teams.
Yeah, you can't.
Because to me, I don't think they're giving anything up. The Lions and the Vikings, and again, I'm sorry, like, it's not a coincidence. Mm. When have those teams gone to a Super Bowl with a dome as their home field?
Well, Detroit has never been good enough. They have the one seed, so we're not going to find out.
Right, because if they do, they would have taken. And by the way, same thing with Indianapolis, which I was bringing up earlier that Sean didn't like. When they got to the Super Bowls with Peyton Manning, they had to do it with home field because they could not win in Foxborough. They lost any ability to win games in those cold weather climates. So if you're an AFC North team, you have Baltimore, you have Pittsburgh, you have Cincy, you have Cleveland. They got it right, that division. As soon as a team builds a dome, they are giving away a huge edge, and I think they're making it more difficult on themselves to go into those cold weather climates and win games.
So you think the reason the Vikings haven't found their way back to the Super Bowl is because they went indoors?
How many Super Bowls have they been to since?
Okay, here would be my answer.
They've lost games at home. Is that
Morton
the answer?
Anderson's missed kick versus the Falcons, and Brett Favre throwing the pick versus New Orleans. They lost two overtime NFC Championship games. Had nothing to do with the fact that they moved indoors.
Right.
But they don't have that same advantage when they have to go to a cold weather climate.
They change
their identity in that regard.
I'd argue they have a bigger advantage because they have one of the louder buildings in football because fans aren't freezing their ass.
You have a right to argue whatever wrong point you want to make.
How cold was it in 2000? NFC Championship game?
The 41 donut game?
Yeah. I
looked that up.
It was
chilly, but I don't think it was like.
Yeah, I don't think it was frozen. Cold. I don't think it was frozen at all.
Yeah, I don't remember being uncomfortable on the sideline.
No. Absolutely. I'm making a friendly warning to these cold weather teams. Don't build a dome. It's stupid. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll investigate what is truly going on behind Josh Hart's public comments in which he's called out his teammates without using names. Who is he mad at? We'll investigate it coming up. The Knicks take on the Sixers tonight. Karl Anthony Towns is out, which is probably a smart decision considering how many guys are out for Philadelphia, including Joel Embiid, who plays basketball optionally. That's where we are with him. The Knicks, I got to take you back to January 3rd. Friday night, January 3rd, a very odd moment, and I want you to put yourself back in this place. So it's Friday night, January 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand new year. The Knicks are in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. The Knicks are playing awesome basketball. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They've opened up a lead against the Thunder. And I must say, as an IBO, I was scared. Like, I am sitting there on a Friday night saying, maybe they're better than I thought. Wow. They're beating up the best team in the NBA. And I actually had at halftime an emergency meeting of the coalition of Knick haters.
Oh, God.
And I said, all right, let's calm down. This will be a very damaging loss for us, but we got to respect it. Like, one thing about being in the coalition, we have to be honest. Mm-hmm. We can't lie or make up stuff. We have to be honest. The Knicks obviously lost that game. Yep. They blew the lead. But I understand, again, being honest, a Knicks fan saying, look, it's a disappointing loss, but man, the Thunder are loaded. They're a more talented team. They're deeper than us. Like, respect. Let's move on. We showed the world we can play with those guys.
Yeah, you're still top of the second tier.
Yeah. They then respond by losing the next night in Chicago. They then respond with what appeared to be the worst loss of the year at home to a very undermanned Magic team. They mix in a win against Toronto, a tanking team. They then get absolutely annihilated in their rematch with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then they lost the other night to the Detroit Pistons. They lost 5 out of 7.
They also smoked the Bucks, who were red hot on
Sunday. Yeah, they did. Absolutely. I don't want to leave that out. They beat the crap out of the Bucks. So it's not like they've lost 7 in a row, but things have been different. Things have been off. And they've lost 5 out of 7. And it's made some Knicks fans, not all, say, hey, what's going on? I got to question things. Now, I would have normally said, all right, guys, I think you're a good team. I think you got to continue to give it more time. Got to let these guys develop. There's no reason to panic. That's what I would say. So I am not ringing an alarm bell because I'm a panicist. That's a word I made up.
It is definitely a word.
Alarmist. I'm going to ring the alarm bells because Josh Hart, numerous times, is crying out for help. He is saying things that are weird. Can I read one quote to you?
Go ahead.
This was after the Oklahoma City game, if memory serves correct. Actually, no, I take that back. This was after their most recent loss to the Pistons. It's an NBA season. There's going to be peaks and valleys. There's going to be games where we shoot the lights out. There are going to be games where we can't buy a shot. We've got to make sure we are focused and give off the right energy. We can't have our own individual agendas. Can't do any of that. Got to make sure we're locked in on this team, sacrificing for this team. He used individual agendas. Then, following the loss, or before that, following the loss to the Thunder, he said, I think at the end of the day, we have to go out there and execute at a high level. We got to go out there with energy. We have to go out there without egos. We have to go out there with no individual agendas. We have to go out there and sacrifice. I think that's the biggest thing. Multiple times, he's talked about, quote, individual agendas. Multiple times, he's talked about egos. So, Ian Begley, who's a wonderful reporter, did some research and said, look, I just want, did some research on this. People don't believe this was a throwaway Josh Hart's being funny. They believe he means this. And as a leader of the team, and as fans or consumers of basketball, it would be wrong to just ignore that Josh Hart multiple times is talking about egos and individual agendas. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, Teak, who the hell is he talking about?
Probably nobody. I don't think anybody at all, to be honest with you. Because it's been multiple times, like 2 or like 8.
So he said one earlier this season about egos. Mm-hmm. He said the egos thing again recently, and he said the individual agendas comment multiple times. So this is, I would say, on a level of 3 different times this season.
So to me, this sounds like coach miming. This sounds like something the coach is saying.
So he's repeating what Tibbs is saying?
He's repeating what Tibbs is saying.
Okay.
And because he doesn't know what else to say. When you lose games that you're not supposed to, the last thing you want to do is stand up there and have a fun conversation with somebody. And so you say something that's just programmed, that's literally stuck in the back of your mind, and it just comes forward, and you spit it out. You're not even thinking about it. I can't tell you how many times over the course of my career I found the appropriate idiom, cliche, and just threw it out. Because you need an answer. I'm going to give you an answer, but it doesn't mean anything. And to me, that's what that sounds like.
So you don't think he's actually calling an individual out?
Because knowing Josh Hart, and I don't know Josh Hart, but just watching him from afar, if he was calling somebody out, he would call somebody the hell out.
Oh, you think he'd go name?
100%. 100%.
So I did some research.
And if he wasn't, he would do it to that person's face.
Right.
Whoever.
Well,
whoever,
by the way, he may be doing that privately to said person's face. So I went back and looked at the end of the Piston game where, and we could all debate like the basketball merits of who screwed up.
Yeah.
Josh Hart leaving. Should they left Tim Hardaway? Mikal's not fighting through a screen with Cade Cunningham trying to defend Jalen Brunson. And I saw one guy who I watch on YouTube from Knick Fan TV. It's not CP. It's another guy who said, look, watch this again. By the way, I disagree with him, but I want to give him the platform because I thought it was interesting. He says, watch this again. Jalen is calling OG over to come over and help. Anobi stares at him, doesn't do it. And so on that rotation, Hart is clearly pissed at OG on Anobi. I watch the same play. I don't see that.
Yeah.
What I see...
What's he doing? Staying in the corner?
Yes. He doesn't leave his man. What I see, I do not think it's OG on Anobi. I want to make that clear. I think it's somebody else. I think the guy he's upset at, and I know I'm going to get killed for saying this.
Mikal Bridges.
I think it's Mikal Bridges. Because Mikal doesn't fight through that screen. And when Hart, because after the three is made by Malik Beasley, Hart lifts his arms up in disgust. There's no denying that. It happened on the floor. He looks freaking pissed. So I'm thinking, is this guy right? It's OG? Is it?
Right.
I think he was pissed Bridges didn't fight through the screen. So now Jalen Brunson is stuck on Cade Cunningham, which is not a matchup you want.
Right.
Now you're forced to send the double, which leaves Hardaway open, which makes Josh Hart have to make the decision. Let me go put a hand up on Tim Hardaway. Uh-oh, here's Malik Beasley in the corner. I think he is pissed at Mikal Bridges.
How is that an individual agenda? I think that's just not having the capability of fighting through a screen.
Not being tough enough to fight through a screen.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a skill thing.
And here's my other question, and this fits OG as well. If you, and I know this is like a leading question, so you guys may not answer it this way. What do you think the Knicks' biggest issue is right now? Like from a basketball standpoint?
Depth. Ooh,
you think it's depth?
Definitely.
Not the answer I'm looking for, but totally fine.
Defense. Tommy, defense.
Thank you. Totally agree. Perimeter defense. Here's what I find weird.
Which they should be great at, by the way, with OG and Bridges. They should be elite at that.
That's my point. That's exactly, see, you walk right into it. Because I think we agree, if we disagree. Their biggest thing I don't understand is why they struggle so much on perimeter D when they employ guys like OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. Mm. So I do agree that when Hart is frustrated, I think he's looking at OG and Mikal saying, dudes, what the bleep? Why are we sucking at this? You guys are good at this. And so I think Bridges not being able to fight through screens on a nightly basis is pissing Josh Hart off. I think he hates Mikal Bridges. I think they need to trade him. I'm sorry, I took that too far. That last part, please strike from the record. But I think Hart, I don't know if he's doing this the right way, T, because maybe it should just be done individually and not through the media.
Yeah.
I think he's clearly frustrated.
Yeah, he is because they're losing games they're not supposed to. And they want to be. I think the Knicks think they are one of the top tier teams. It's a top tier. We know who they are. It's Cleveland, it's Boston, it's OKC. The Knicks want to be right in that group, but they're just like a tick below it.
And why?
Well, it's multiple reasons. They're not playing the defense that we know that Tibbs wants them to play and that they historically have played. But two, they get very little contribution from their bench.
I agree. Now, I think that's a part of it.
Part of that is Tibbs. Because he doesn't play guys off the bench.
Part of it is also they don't have a good bench.
And they don't have a good bench. Yeah. And so, like, when things get pushed to shove, your guy gets worn down, their bench throws in 38 points. You contribute 8, right? It just you're going to lose those games, especially if you're off offensively. So I think it's multiple. Yes, it's defense. You're right, Tommy. That's probably what the surface thing. But the biggest thing for me is they have not a ton of depth.
So I believe that Josh Hart hates Mikal Bridges. You're saying he doesn't hate anybody. It was just an in general comment.
I think it was a general comment.
Tommy, who do you think Josh Hart hates?
It's clear that Josh Hart hates Tyler Kolek. I mean, when he's out there without 3 minutes left, games out there. No, I don't think he hates anybody. I think Tiki's right that it was a lot of cliches. You're being interviewed. And people, like we talked about this with Malik Nabers, they love going to Josh because Josh is a great quote.
He's
going to
answer.
Exactly. He's very honest. Right. But after a while, he's probably like, all right, dude, stop asking me this. So I don't think he hates anybody. And I just don't understand, like, what an ego individual. I agree. Their defense should be a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's not great on the perimeter, but I don't know why, let's say, OG or Mikal have egos or personal agendas. What the heck that has to do with them not playing defense?
Right.
That's one of their strengths.
Effort. Defense is mostly effort. Fighting through screens, I could argue, is effort.
But my question would be, why is the effort not there? If we assume it is effort thing with Bridges and OG, why isn't it there,
though? Look, Josh Hart is a very special basketball player, and I mean that genuinely. There's no sarcasm here. He has an ability to play very hard, very often.
Yes.
I can't say 100% of the time because I've seen him take plays off, but for the most part, for an NBA player who plays big, big minutes, he gives constant effort. And I think when you are a player like that, you probably look at some of your teammates who you can see don't give that same effort and say, dude, I do it.
Maybe we're saying the same thing here just differently. I believe Josh Hart, probably only guy on the team, if things go really wrong, he can still contribute. Because of the defense, because of the rebounding, because of the assists, like, and that includes everybody on the roster.
So can Bridges, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not just an offensive player, but this year, if I was marking Mikal Bridges' season, I think his defense has been
horrific.
A little bit less to be desired.
I don't think it's been good at all, to be honest with you.
Okay, and that's a part of the appeal of why you traded for him.
I agree with you.
So why is his defense struggled?
And the same thing with Ananobi.
Why has his defense struggled?
I don't know. And effort is certainly a thing that could possibly be a reason why he's not playing good defensively. But Ananobi, same thing.
You think it's minutes? You think he's not used to playing the minutes?
No, because you know why? The other night, now it was a back-to-back, but in the first quarter, they had no defense. The first quarter, they're tired already, and there's no effort in the first quarter?
Yeah, I don't
think
that's being tired. I think
it was a back-to-back.
Yeah. I think that's just business decisions that guys
but
make.
But what's the business decision?
So I think when you're six guys on a team that are the only guys
So then it goes back to the head coach then, or it goes back to the lack of depth?
I forgot what podcast I was listening to, but they were talking about how the NBA's biggest problem is that there's too many back-to-backs. Like, if you could have a day rest, there's no way you could do it because the season would be ridiculously too long.
Right.
It already kind of
or
is.
Cut down the amount of games.
Well, that's what you should do.
They won't do that.
So that every game feels like guys are ready for every game.
You know what's funny about that, Teak? The NBA has tried over the years to cut down on back-to-backs.
Yes.
It still exists.
Because there's too many games.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. So your answer, did you actually answer who he hates? Oh, you said Tyler Kolek, yeah.
Okay. Tyler Kolek. No, I don't think he hates anybody.
Sean,
could he be frustrated with somebody? Sure.
Yeah, but you don't want to answer that. That's fine. I respect that. Dudes and dogs don't hate each other. Sean, who does Josh Hart hate?
Tom Thibodeau.
You think he's talking about the coach?
I think that he understands that not everybody can be like him, and I think the minutes have worn down, and it's been now multiple years of, can you see that I'm not having guys give multiple, because you're just asking them to play too much.
Interesting. A lot of people on social media have suggested it's Karl Anthony Towns.
No way.
No.
That he does not
no
like.
Way.
No chance.
No?
No way.
He's the new guy.
Now look, he got hurt. He was hurt and missed a couple of those games. It's one of the reasons they had no chance in him, but there's no way. He's a baller, dude.
He's having a wonderful season. He's having statistically
two games. He comes back. He has 16 rebounds.
Karl Anthony Towns, statistically, across the board, is having one of the best seasons of his career. I'm just trying to figure out.
You know what?
I'm just trying to figure out who Josh Hart hates.
I'll give you what you want. If I had to pick,
yeah,
it's Mikal.
So you do think it's Mikal? You agree?
If I had to pick one,
well, you don't have to.
I don't think
it seems like you are picking.
I don't think he hates anybody. But if he had to pick one,
right, I'm going to soften.
I think he gets frustrated with Bridges because I think that's part of their relationship going back to college. Is that he sometimes gets aggravated and frustrated?
Oh,
yeah.
So I hear what you're saying. So he might expect more from him because he knows.
Yes,
I think we make.
He's known him for so long.
They have that kind of relationship.
We've made an assumption with college teammates, specifically the Villanova Knicks.
You're probably right.
That because you went to college together, you must love each other. Like, that's not how it works.
No, I think you have a brotherly relationship. Sometimes you hate each other, sometimes you love each other.
I don't think it's necessarily love. I think it's, we had success, you know how to do this.
Right.
So stop being a bitch.
That's the way it should be phrased. Stop being a bitch. I heard lots of rumors that Dante DiVincenzo and one of your Villanova cats didn't exactly get along. And I heard it was over a girl.
Well,
did you hear that story?
You know what?
You hear that story?
I have not, but there's an expression, go outside and throw a stone.
In college?
Yeah. That when Bridges was a quarterback, I guess
that
I'm
sure that is absolutely true.
Yeah, of course it's true. They were in college together.
Females, money, we know.
I heard that when Bridges was acquired, and everybody was like, Final Infinity Stone, this is amazing, the Nova Knicks, this is great. I heard rumors that two of them don't get along because they were, you know, same girl.
Happens. Homie hopping.
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. You look at you over there, though. This is my way. It's starting that little grin on your face.
I have a grin on my face?
I think you have a little grin on your face.
You know what's funny, Tommy? Yeah. The New York Knicks, we are at the halfway point of the regular season.
We are.
And they're going to win tonight. The Sixers are a joke.
Well, stop doing this, because you've done this now several times.
No. I put my money where my mouth is. The Knicks are winning. If the Knicks lose tonight, hold on.
Go ahead.
If the Knicks lose tonight, I'll wear the L tomorrow.
You got it. For one whole day.
Me and you. Hey, I wear it for
No.
Well, because your team actually lost, so you have to wear it.
No, but you're the one sitting there in your little high horse there saying.
So you think the Knicks are going to lose tonight?
No, you'll wear the L tomorrow.
Well, hold on.
I'm not sharing the L.
Do you think the Knicks are going to lose tonight?
You're wearing the L.
Do you think the Knicks are going to lose tonight?
You're wearing the L. You've already said it. Oh, there's no sharing of the L here.
I already admit I'm wearing the L if the Knicks lose. I'm asking you, do you think the Knicks are losing tonight?
No.
Then why would you, then you should wear the L if they
no,
lose?
No, because now you want to share the L. You already owned up to saying you would wear the L. I'm not going to share the L. We're not L sharing here. Okay. It's not an L sharing.
I'll wear the
this
L
is
for
a solo
an,
L.
I'll wear the L for an hour. You wear it for 10 minutes yeah, well, as a Knicks fan.
You won't let Evan pass the L to you?
I just don't understand why Evan has to dictate the time that the L is being worn. Sean had to wear it for three straight friggin' days, and because, you accosted him when
well,
he didn't wear it.
Well, first of all, I'm offering the L wearing. No one brought it
that
up.
That was pretty epic of you, Sean. To wear it for three days. Taking your punishment, wearing it for 3 days.
Thank you very much.
But he also had a punishment.
Respect.
I think that...
I'm willing to offer this because I'm confident the Knicks are going to win.
The spirit of the L is when you have a take or you have a thing, you should wear the L if you're wrong. Not being forced to wear the L, which you're trying to put pressure on me to say something, to make a bold prediction, and then to wear the L for 10 seconds. Did I get
agree,
there?
I would agree with
would you agree with me?
I hate to agree with Tommy, but he's right, Evan.
Okay.
You're squirming here.
I'll wear the L. I'm not squirming.
No, he's not squirming. He's trying to put me in a corner.
I'm just trying to get Tommy to find out if he thinks the Knicks are going to win tonight.
I'll say this. No, I'm not going to do anything here. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
Hold on. No,
because he's trying to get me. He's trying to go.
He's not asking the right way. Can I ask the right way?
Oh, sure.
You guys are the worst.
Tommy, are the Knicks going to do damage tonight?
I'm not answering that.
He won't even ask.
Because now, because thing. When we're on the, when we're now that the L is in the show here, you have to be careful with where you step and
Tommy,
what you do because
Tommy,
Evan is trying to get me with you.
Tommy, the Sixers are without Joel Embiid.
I'm well aware. We're without
I
Carl
think
Anthony Towns.
Tyrese Maxey is questionable. I haven't heard if he's been ruled in or out.
I have not seen that.
I know that Andre Drummond is out. Kyle Lowry's out. The Knicks took care of the Sixers the earlier this season when you saw them. Do you think they're going to win tonight? Will they do damage tonight?
They're compromised, the 76ers.
Yeah,
sure.
Very compromised.
I think they're going to do damage, but if they don't, I'm not wearing the L.
He's so scared.
I'm not scared of wearing the L. I just think goading me into wearing the L is not in the spirit of the L. And Tiki agreed with me.
Yes.
So Tiki is the higher power here. So whatever he says goes.
All right, I'm not going to argue.